Welcome to Pop Culture Manager and PCMC.
We are talking on microphones, staring at each other.
Oh yeah, the audience needs to know that when we podcast, we stare dead into each other's eyes. It's like a staring contest.
We don't try to blink.
No. That's part of...
You die.
That's why I cry, because my eyes are open.
Sure, that's why you cry.
It's a mini-sode.
You should know what that is by now.
You fucking definitely should. I mean, we stole a concept from My Favorite Murder. I mean, they've been around for a couple of years. You should know from them.
It's one subject, X amount of time.
Absolutely.
And then we're gone.
This is my friend Emilio Sparks over there on the microphone.
That is Mike Bongiorno, who likes to drink iced coffee now. No, iced tea.
So what is this mini-sode about again?
Television shows that are gone way too soon.
Televisual shows that did not last as long as they should have, and some were brilliant and canceled, and some had a run, but under the wire, you know what I mean?
They
had a couple seasons.
A little bit more time to develop and become a fan hit.
Or for the world to catch up to them.
Yes.
What do you got?
Why am I going first?
Oh, my God. All right. All right. This one's going to shock you, okay? I always talk about how much I don't like Kevin Smith. But the Clerks animated series, it didn't even have a full season.
Wow.
But it's really good. I mean, it's good enough that people still quote it. The episode that ends where it becomes an anime out of nowhere, and it goes, who is driving? Bear is driving. How can that be? I still quote that. People still quote that. It was a really funny show. It was nothing like the Clerks movie. It was just, let's do a ridiculous show, and we'll use the idea of two guys working a store. But whereas the movie was just them talking, the cartoon was just...
It went anywhere.
It was just bits and nonsense.
I think that's why it works so well, because it went anywhere. And with animation, you can do that. You know, Jay and Silent Bob had these... Not that they had these weird powers, but they would always be in some weird situation.
In the cartoon, they sold firecrackers.
Yeah.
Because ABC was like, they can't sell weed.
Yeah.
It was on ABC. It premiered after the Super Bowl, which was not a good choice.
No, it was the nail in the coffin from start to finish.
And they aired episode 3 first, I believe. It was one of those situations where you had something good, but the network didn't know what they had, or they didn't want what they had, and they basically buried it. If it had a good couple seasons run, I think it would have got even better.
I think it would have had the same effect that Family Guy had. And I don't think Family Guy's all that great.
Do you think that if Family Guy had not come back and only had that original, like, 2-year run,
yes,
we would think of it as like this classic thing?
I think a lot of people think of it as, oh my God, this is a classic, but no.
I think now people think, oh, end already.
Well, like The Simpsons, end already.
Yeah, because they're very different, the originals, from what eventually happened on Fox.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that can happen. Things can come back.
But see, that's a series that was saved by Adult Swim.
Right. And I think Kevin Smith's career actually would have went better, because he would have – I think TV is where he should have went. He seems to be going there now. He's directing a lot of, like, the WB-averse.
And he also has a very popular show on AMC.
Right, right. And he's a podcast god.
And that cartoon came out at the right time. It just needed a better network.
Right. It came out at the right time for the fans, but not for America.
Well, it needed a better network. I think it would have...
There was no Adult Swim. If there was an Adult Swim at that point, it would have been perfect there.
I think if it went on MTV, I think it would have survived.
Yes.
I think just based off Kevin Smith at that point, it would have worked. They at least would have gave him 4 seasons.
Alec Baldwin was the voice of the villain. Leonardo. There's a great scene.
Is that his early forte into network television?
Yeah, that was his early forte into comedy. I remember being like, wow, he's funny. This is pre-30 Rock.
I watched a interview series that he started.
Really?
I saw the pilot on ABC, of all things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of in the realm of Dick Cavett. And it's just him talking to celebrities about their lives.
That makes sense.
And other things. And some of them turn around and ask him things. Like Jerry Seinfeld asked him. He was like, you know, I noticed when you gained weight, you became funny.
He did do that.
And so he talks about some things with his career and stuff like that. I think Alec Baldwin's a really interesting person to watch career-wise.
Yeah, he had a podcast.
Stop it.
Yeah, he did. It was a re-airing of an NPR show, but it was just him interviewing people, and it was great. He did a great interview with David Letterman. One show that I loved, and it had 2 seasons, but it was setting itself up for a third, and the world didn't love it the way that it deserved was the United States of Tara. United States of Tara was on Showtime. The protagonist was a woman with dissociative identity disorder, which they used to call split personality. There was T, the like sassy teenager, and then there was the sort of matriarchal Brady Bunch mother type. And the show was really funny. Anton Yelchin was in it. Aiden from Sex and the City was in it. Brie Larson, that was, I think, one of her first things. Now she's Captain Marvel. It was produced by Steven Spielberg. And it did have two seasons, but it just, it was a cult thing. Not enough people loved it. I loved it. And
well, why did you love it? What made it stand out? Outside of the things that you just described, mm-hmm. was it the feel? Was it the tone? Was it the texture? Was it the way it was shot?
The idea that it took mental illness, but treated it as fodder for comedy, but not in a disrespectful way, in a way of we can laugh at our pain, I really liked. You have a cast of characters, but they're all really coming from one person. Was really interesting. And it was a bit of a mystery, because there was a mystery of what had happened to the character in her childhood that made her have this disorder. And they were getting to it. The season finale of season two was a bit of a cliffhanger, and it was like we were going to find out. So it's one of those like unended things. Makes me sad.
Do you think
I'm
now,
still part of the Facebook group Bring Back United States of Tara?
Of course you are.
We've made very little headway over the last 10 years.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you feel that the way streaming websites and the way we binge watch television now has affected what is a popular series on network television?
Yes.
What shows stay and what shows go to me are really, really interesting now.
Right. There are statistics that suggest that the more popular show is, the lower its ratings are, because it's getting higher DVR interaction. Because people like, oh, I want to watch it with my girlfriend or my boyfriend, or I want to watch it when I want to watch it. That totally throws a monkey wrench in the whole advertising system that we've had since the 50s.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why I think CBS has such high ratings, because they skew an older audience that is less digitally active. So they watch, you know, your Big Bang Theories and stuff, and your Young Sheldons.
Yeah, but eventually that has to change, though, right?
I don't know what's going to happen.
Like, the idea of network television itself seems to be not failing, but scaled back more. I don't watch 2, 5, 4, 8, 7. If I watch anything ABC, NBC, CBS, or Fox related, it's all Hulu.
I think I said this on, like, the first episode, but I think it's just going to be, like, all channels. It's all on demand. Here's the Disney Channel, and then the things that would have been on ABC will be produced for that, but then there'll also be, like, a Star Wars channel within Disney and a Marvel and things like that.
What I watched, and I didn't even watch it on the network itself. I remember that this was the first show that I would actively stream on the Hulu account the day after. And it was The Philanthropist.
I've never even heard of it.
Starring James Purefoy.
Who?
Do you know who James Purefoy is?
Whom?
That very handsome British actor.
What was this show about?
He played Mark Anthony in Rome. He was in The Following. He played Joe Carroll.
I don't know.
He was Solomon Kane in Solomon Kane.
I don't know any of these shows or characters you're talking about.
What are you talking about? I don't know Purefoy?
I know Mark Anthony.
Nah, my man. Get with it, dude.
Well, what was The Philanthropist about?
All right, The Philanthropist was...
Do you think the show failed because of its title? People had a hard time saying philanthropist.
I just think people just didn't want to give. No, but the synopsis was that this billionaire playboy named Teddy Rist, who was haunted by his one child's death...
Sure.
...changed his life when he rescues a young boy during a hurricane in Nigeria. As a result, Rist begins using his wealth and fortune and power and influence to personally change the lives of others.
How long was it on for?
8 episodes. It ran from...
What year?
It ran from June to August 2009, dude.
Oh, wow. And you were there. You were...
I thought it was great. Yeah, they tackled a lot of issues, man.
When it was on, were there other people who were watching it that you talked to?
I wasn't talking to anybody else who was watching The Philanthropist, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't want people to know, like, oh my God, he watches NBC.
I see. Yeah, because I knew you at that time. You didn't bring up The Philanthropist to me. Could have come up.
Would you have watched it, though?
No, I've still not watched that Momoa show. Whatever the fuck that's called.
Frontier. Hey, get on that. Just get on that.
I'm waiting for season 3.
Listen, dude, they talked about sex trafficking in this. They talked about vaccines in Nigeria.
Sounds like a laugh riot.
They talked about water. conservation in India. They addressed Kosovo when Kosovo was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about charitable donations and depression and Ponzi schemes in one episode. I mean, dude, they just...
Well, they did a lot in 8 episodes.
They really did. Like, it was woke. It was woke before, like, society became really woke.
Okay.
Your favorite's in it.
Who's that?
Nev Campbell.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jeffrey Lynn Goldblum.
No. Nev Campbell's in this.
Was she?
Yeah, she plays...
Every episode?
She was in the series. She was a series regular.
All eight?
She played Philip Madstone's wife, who ran a charitable organization for wrist charities.
All right, I'm going to watch it right now.
They were an interracial couple. They tackled race on The Philanthropist.
Wow, it sounded like it was a real high-minded show.
And nobody wanted to watch.
Absolutely. You know what else nobody wanted to watch? Birds of Prey. Do you remember Birds of Prey?
Yeah, I do.
Do you remember that DC Comics, whatever it was?
Wasn't Smallville, everything was failing at that time.
Yeah. That was the one with Huntress, but the Batman's daughter version of Huntress.
Yeah.
It also had Mia Sara from Ferris Bueller's Day Off as Harley Quinn, which was a weird...
Well, that was just doomed from the start, though.
Yeah, weird is it wasn't about Batman, but then when they realized they were canceled, they made the last episode about Batman. Yeah, that didn't go well. I had the DVD. I believe there were like 6 episodes. I watched the fuck out of that show.
Did you really now?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you watch the fuck out of it?
I liked it. I liked that it was a female team. It was a female team. It was Huntress and Oracle, who used to be Batgirl, and Canary. And they were ladies and they were kicking ass. It was a little bit of like Charlie's Angels vibe, but in the DC universe. They had a version of Clayface that wasn't very good.
Now, was it because that maybe the CGI wasn't good? Was it the storytelling? Like, what made them cancel Birds of Prey?
I'm going to say all of the above. All of the above. The storytelling wasn't great. The action wasn't great. The acting wasn't great. You're right, they were trying to ride that Smallville wave. But you know what? The truth is, with most TV shows, none of it starts off great. It's even if you have a great pilot, sometimes you struggle a little bit for a little while.
I don't know. The Philanthropist was a home run.
Yeah, obviously.
This Is Us was a home run.
That's true, but shows sometimes need to develop, and if they don't get the opportunity to, that's it, they're done.
But I think also networks are highly impatient. I think they want something to take off and take off fast because of advertisers and viewing. That's how I see it.
But look at something like Seinfeld, where like...
Yeah, but look at the first time in which it came out, though.
Yeah, but still, it was, you know, they gave that show a lot of room. I mean, I'm one of these people who thinks like the first 2 seasons of Seinfeld aren't good. It doesn't get good to season 3. But they were like, hey, let's do it. We'll keep working on it.
And why do you think that is? Because by season 4, they're just on fire.
I think NBC was in the Seinfeld business. He almost did Tonight Show instead of Jay. The first couple episodes of Seinfeld, which was the Seinfeld Chronicles, they were produced by Late Night, not by primetime. So I think it was Johnny Carson's like people who produced it. There's a weird story there. But that's the thing. What I'm saying is Birds of Prey could have gotten better. Any show can get better if you just let it.
But you also have to have patience for
it. But TV doesn't have patience. You gotta bring the ratings right away or you're dead. Which is what's good about Netflix, because Netflix just greenlights everything. I don't know how they judge success over there.
There has to be an analytic.
I mean, they know the numbers of everything, but they don't give it to us.
No. But that's why we'll get season 4 of BoJack Horseman.
Right.
And season 6 of this. Or,
but you've seen them cancel things. Love.
Yeah, they've canceled things.
So
I hope they don't cancel Flaked that stars Will Arnett.
I haven't seen that.
Flaked is the jam, dude. And you need to watch it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it the jam?
It was only 6 episodes for the second season on Netflix.
That's a good sign.
And it basically, he's like this self-help guru Chip who's trying to like stay ahead of his own lies, because he said that he was an alcoholic and he was in recovery, but he was never an alcoholic. He just covered up for his girlfriend who was a DUI, and she like killed a kid, and she was like becoming an actress that was becoming really successful. So he like took the rap for her and said that he was drinking and driving and killed this kid. And
okay,
it's a good show, dude. It's a really good show.
Will Arnett is a great actor who's had a real string of failed shows.
Just stinkers.
He's one of my favorite Batmans.
Well, he's the Lego Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you like him. Let's see.
He brought comedy to the role.
Oh, did he now?
Yeah. Because, you know, he wasn't too, like, serious. My parents died. I loved the NBC show Up All Night. It only ran from 2011 to 2012, and
never seen it.
They retooled it once, and then they were going to retool it again and make it a three camera, and the stars were like, no. This was a show about Christina Applegate and Will Arnett, and they were a young couple that just had a baby. And it was like, how do you go from you're young in your 20s and you go out and you have fun, and now you have a kid, and like, how does this work? And Will Arnett was the stay-at-home dad, and Maya Rudolph was in it. It was a really good show, even with the different avenues that they tried to take to bring it back to life. People didn't like it, but I thought it was really funny. It was a Lorne Michael production.
I don't remember this, and I like Will Arnett.
Christina Applegate and Will Arnett, they had great chemistry.
I don't remember this.
Up All Night.
I felt like that would be something. Maybe it was because of the bad title.
35 episodes.
That's it?
Yeah.
So you'd think like 35 episodes, they would succeed.
It was in that post 30 Rock thing where NBC was like, you know what? We're going to stop spending so much money. Big Bang Theory cost nothing to make. We're going to go back to cheap shit. And they were just like, we don't want to do Up All Night anymore. And I guess it wasn't catching on the way they wanted it to.
Yeah.
But it was, I loved it.
I got to see if it's on Hulu or Netflix.
I would love to rewatch it. It was good.
I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Here's one that I think you'll get a kick out of. Clone High.
Yes, I remember Clone High.
Which sucks because I thought Clone High would have ran more for 13 on MTV.
That's all it ran? 13?
It ran from November 02 to April 03. That was it.
That's amazing because people still remember that.
Clone High still comes on from time to time. What I liked about Clone High was it was all figures from history. Cleopatra, JFK, Gandhi, Joan of Arc, Abe Lincoln, Genghis Khan. Like, I liked that it parodied teen dramas and they introduced every episode on a very special episode of Clone High.
Yeah.
You know, but it also was a series that ended on like this weird cliffhanger, like JFK, kind of like Joan of Arc, but Joan of Arc liked Abe Lincoln. Abe Lincoln liked Cleopatra. Cleopatra liked Abe Lincoln. Abe Lincoln liked Joan of Arc, but Joan of Arc also had the hots for JFK. It was so weird. Uh-huh. And it was like, damn, like, what are we doing? Like, what's the outcome going to be? But they
and
never
we'll
really
never know.
And we'll never know.
We'll never know.
Never, never know.
Yeah.
I was strangely attracted to Cleopatra.
Okay. Thank
you. Is
it
odd to be attracted to a cartoon or have a crush on it? Like, wow, that's a good looking cartoon.
No, absolutely.
If she was a real life person.
No.
Like, I mean, odd. Quinn Morgendorfer was another one that
Quinn
really
Morgendorfer, yeah, she was great. One that's sort of obvious on the list that we haven't talked about yet would be Arrested Development. In some ways, it's become almost a cliche of like the brilliant but canceled. And then it did come back for a season, but that season was really divisive to people. I still love Arrested Development, especially.
I can never really get into it.
The first season. The first season's sharp as attack. It got worse. I didn't hate that Netflix season either.
You know, it was another good show.
What?
A little show called Freaks and Geeks.
You know what? To be honest with you, I never got into it.
Why?
I tried to watch the first
episode. You would
episode.
Look like a person that would be glued to Freaks and Geeks back in like 99 to 2000.
We'll take it easy. That sounds like an insult. But I like some of what Apatow does, but I don't know. I watched the pilot.
What, you didn't like teen angst? You didn't like being a social outcast?
I like social outcast.
You didn't like overprotective parents who wanted best for their children but were crippling them with responsibility and love?
I don't like a young James Franco.
You just don't like Franco, period.
No, I don't. No, you're right. He's okay. He was
we had a young Seth Rogen.
Definitely
in
the
this.
Best host of the Oscars ever.
Seth Rogen?
Yes, it was all those people.
That really hot Linda Cardellini?
Cardellini.
You know better than I.
She was also the bad guy in Legally Blonde.
But you didn't like that? You didn't like the fact that you also had the younger classmen were that prototypical nerds and they were just social outcasts. Trying to fight their way through puberty. The younger brother was trying to fight his way through puberty to understand who he was. This was a very Mike Bongiorno show.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to let you down, but I just wasn't into it. I didn't like it. How long did that run?
That ran for 15 episodes.
Wow.
I would like to see them do a reboot of that. I think it would work now. Or they do an updated version where the cast comes back.
Yeah, you're going to get that cast back. That would be good. How about The Critic? There's a classic cartoon.
That should have had more legs to it.
That could have went much longer, and it didn't. It was really funny to make fun of film critics as, like, losers. That's such a funny, highbrow idea.
They highlighted how ridiculous Hollywood could be.
A lot of those movies actually happened. Like, yeah. They'd be like, Jurassic Park 2, and that really happened.
Yeah, years later. Like, yeah. Most of those trailers actually happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a funny show.
I shouldn't say an attack, but it was a satire on Hollywood for how ridiculous Hollywood could be.
Yeah. It only had two seasons. I believe one on ABC and then one on Fox. But I really watched them over and over and over again on Comedy Central in the middle of the night. That show had, not a lot of people know this, but it had a like web series like third season that like really sucked. And this was like pre-Netflix. It was years after the original show, but it was too early to try it. We just forget that happened.
They should now that's a show that they should bring back.
That would be a great show to bring back.
And John Lovitz ain't doing anything. He needs to work. Here's one. And this is how I'm going to end off. This is why I saved the best for later.
I know what it's going to be.
What is it going to be?
No, I just say it.
It stars an Academy Award winning actor.
Actress?
Actor. Okay. The actress didn't win an Academy Award.
Okay.
She's been in groundbreaking television shows and movies.
Yes.
Such as Homeland.
Yes.
But it's called My So-Called Life.
Would you believe that I've seen not a single frame of that show?
I want to smash you in your face right now.
Seems like an overreaction, but okay.
That was teen angst personified.
Really?
Oh my God, 94, 95? I wish, like, watching it now, I wish I got it then when I was a kid really trying to watch it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it deals with, like, her crush on Jordan Catalano, who's Jared Leto, who's absolutely handsome.
Is this where your Jared Leto love began?
Yes. Yes.
How long was that on for?
One season, 19 episodes, 94 to 95.
Wow.
That's it, in and out.
20 years ago. Jesus Christ. Yeah, but people still talk about it.
It hit. They had the gay best friend, Ricky. So we were learning about acceptance early on then.
Yeah, 95.
When AIDS was like a prevalent thing back then, there were storylines about that. I mean, there were storylines about her being an outsider, being in love with the guy that doesn't know she exists, but he kind of does. And then they start seeing each other when he realizes that she accepts him and doesn't assume that he's just this weirdo slacker who just gets by on his looks. And, you know, he couldn't read. He was illiterate.
Couldn't read.
No, he was illiterate, and she was teaching him how to read.
Was that a very special episode?
Yeah, it was a very special episode.
Every episode was very special. I like Claire Danes. I like Claire Danes.
That's when I first thought, I was like, wow, this girl, she can go. She's got chops, especially that young. She's got chops.
Was that MTV's first foray into like really putting together a real show?
Brother, that was ABC, brother.
ABC, really?
Yes, sir.
Why do
MTV aired it later on.
I thought it was MTV original.
Now My So-Called Life was ABC, but
well, now I know why it didn't last, because it was probably, I don't think shit like that lasts on ABC.
No, ABC doesn't. Do they even have dramas, or are they known predominantly for comedy?
I want to go back and look at those, though.
So let's do it.
Let's watch them right now.
So before we go bye-bye, Instagram at PopCultureManChildren, Twitter at EmilioSparks, PopCultureManChildren on iTunes, hit subscribe, give us a little review-ski. Give us a couple of buongiorno tears. Tell us what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, and
share us with your loved ones.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go bye-bye.